Last week, we found ourselves in Luke chapter 15, which is a chapter often called the lost and found chapter. Jesus tells three parables about lost things, the first being a sheep, and then a coin, and then a son. All of these parables serve to teach us how we're prone to wander from our God, and how we have a God who's prone to seek us out and desires to forgive us. This week, we're going to be jumping back closer to the beginning of Luke's gospel into chapter 6. In chapter 4, Jesus was tempted in the wilderness after his baptism. In chapter 5, he begins his ministry and starts calling his disciples. And here in chapter 6, he spends a great deal of time teaching the crowds. So let's pick up Luke 6 in verse 36, and we're going to read on to verse 42. I'd ask you to please rise for the hearing of God's word, and we read it in Jesus' holy name. Be merciful even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. He also told them a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will clearly see the speck that is in your brother's eye. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for another day to be gathered in your house and centered around your word. Lord, as we look at this teaching of Jesus from the Gospel of Luke today, I pray that you would show us our sin, show us where we have fallen short of your glory, and Lord, point us to the finished work of Jesus Christ for us. May we trust in him. Amen. Well, what Jesus has to teach in this gospel lesson for today is something that should sound pretty familiar to us, because it's really just a variation of the golden rule, and not whoever has the gold makes the rules, or do unto others before they have a chance to do unto you. Instead, I'm talking about the golden rule of do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But Jesus changes it up just a little bit. He says here, treat others as you would have your heavenly Father treat you. Would you like God to judge and condemn you? No. Well, then don't run around judging and condemning others. Do you want to have your sins forgiven? I think we all do. So don't run around withholding forgiveness from your neighbors. Would you like God to provide for your needs? Of course we would. So then we should give generously out of what God has blessed us with already. What Jesus teaches here is pretty simple, isn't it? We can all comprehend it, we can all understand it, but in action, in living it out, accomplishing what he has called us to, we find it to be really difficult. It's hard to accomplish because we find that there's something inside of us that doesn't actually like what Jesus has to say here. There's something inside of us that probably likes the other golden rule a little bit better, to do unto others before they get the chance to do unto you. You see, there's some part of us that likes to look down on others, that likes to judge them and condemn them, because when we do, we feel just a little bit better about ourselves. We look just a little bit better in our own eyes. There's some part of us that likes to hold on to grudges, that likes to let those old wounds just sit and fester and to dwell on them, even though they eat us up from the inside. There's something that prefers to wait and hand out a cold dish of revenge than to truly forgive. There's something that desires to hoard what we have and hold on to it while we're chasing after more instead of blessing our neighbor. You see, objectively, we know that these words of Jesus, these are good words, aren't they? We know that if the entire world would take just this one single teaching of Jesus, just this one, and they would believe it and they would trust it and they would obey it, this world would be a better place, wouldn't it? It would be a much more peaceful and wonderful place. But even though we know that, there's something inside of us that just can't quite abide what Jesus has to teach. What is that something that's nagging at us? Well, that something is our sinful nature. We were born in sin and brought forth in iniquity. And even though in Christ we're made to be a new creature, that old nature hangs on and it remains and it continues to do war with us. I don't know if you've heard of the commentator, J. Vernon McGee, but he used to say that the sinful nature was like a cat, an old stray cat, but this one had more than 9 lives, and no matter how many times you grabbed it by the tail, spun it around and tossed it off, you'd look down and find it attached to your leg once more. You see, that old nature that does war with us isn't just bad. It isn't just a little bit evil. It's rotten to the core. It's a nature that loves to condemn and judge. It's a nature that loves to hold on to grudges, to repay evil with evil. And it does so because, frankly, that nature thinks it's better than everyone else. It's a nature completely filled with pride. And the one sure way for that old nature to stroke its ego, to make sure it looks as good as it thinks it is to put others down, to run around gossiping about others' sin, to hold on to grudges that should have been forgiven many years ago, instead of offering a helping hand, watching people as they are stuck down. You see, that's how that old sinful nature keeps itself looking in its own eyes as good as it thinks it is. That sinful nature, it feels this way because he's convinced that he's the only one that's going to look out for number one, the only one that can and will provide for himself. See, that sinful nature doesn't trust in the promises of God. He doesn't believe that God's going to provide for his needs. He doesn't believe that God will judge justly. He doesn't believe that vengeance belongs to the Lord. That old nature only trusts in himself to care for himself. You see, these feelings, these things, they should be something that's familiar to all of us because we all have that old nature that we contend with day in and day out. We have that old nature that doesn't trust God or his promises, an old nature that would like nothing more than to have free reign and control in our lives. See, that's what Paul is talking about in Romans chapter 7. He says, "So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but in my members I see another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me a captive to the law of sin that dwells in the members of my body. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Thankfully, Paul doesn't stop there. He begins the next verse there in Romans 7 by saying, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, by grace through faith, we belong to another and not to our sinful nature. By grace through faith, we are a people marked by the cross and we belong to Jesus Christ. He came to us and called us through his word. He came through those wet words of baptism, and he comes and offers his holy body and blood to us at the supper. He comes to claim us and to make us his, to forgive us our sins and grant us eternal life with him. Did God send his son into the world to condemn the world? No. He came so that we might be saved through him. John 3:18 tells us that Jesus didn't come to condemn us because we stood condemned already in our sins and transgressions. You see, the perfect law of God declares to us that we deserve nothing other than eternal death and separation from God for our sin. And Jesus didn't show up to condemn us further. Instead, he came that we might have life and have it to the full. He came that whoever believes in his name might not perish, but have eternal life in God's presence. Did Jesus come to repay us for our rebellion and our sin and our distrust? No. Jesus came to live the life that we could not live. He faced every temptation we do, but he did so without sin. He lived that sinless life without rebellion and in the complete trust of the Father, that life that we could never hope to live. But he came to do more. He came to die, laying down his life as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Jesus didn't come to repay our transgressions, but to rescue us from our transgressions and our sins and the punishment and wrath that they deserved. He did it by bearing all of that punishment and all of that wrath himself. Did Jesus come to take something from us? No. He came to give. And our text says, to give a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, that'll be put into our laps. See, Jesus isn't talking about something so small and insignificant as earthly gifts and wealth. He isn't saying that obeying his words are going to make you healthy and wealthy and wise. You see, God provides daily bread not just for the righteous, but for the wicked as well. Jesus is talking here about spiritual blessing. He's talking about that perfect and sinless righteous life that he lived, which is given to all those who believe in him. So when God looks upon you in Christ Jesus, he doesn't see your sin. He doesn't see your rebellion. Instead, he sees the perfect life of Jesus just as if you had accomplished it yourself. That same Jesus who came not to judge and condemn, but to give everything, even to the point of death and laying down his life, he was raised again from the dead and now is seated at the right hand of God for eternity until he returns to bring us with him. Jesus goes on in this passage and teaches by parable. He says that those that go out judging and condemning, they're like the blind trying to lead the blind. They're like a person trying to take a little speck of dirt out of their neighbor's eye when they don't notice they've got a tree sticking out of their own. Through God's word, he calls us to confess our blindness. He calls us to confess that we truly do have a log in our eyes. We have logs of sin, of pride, of resentment, of hate, of unforgiveness, and most of all, we have sins of distrust. So how do we remove those logs from our eyes so we might be helpful to our neighbor? Well, we do it by confessing them before God. And once we do, we might actually be some help. You see, when we truly realize the depths of our sin and the depths of our depravity, when we realize that we are more sinful than we can possibly see and comprehend, we realize that we are like a man who is on death row, rightly condemned to die, and just before the lethal injection shot comes, someone arrives, and they come and they set you free and give you a pardon, and even more, they expunge your record so there are no crimes whatsoever. It's when we realize we're a sinner who's been freed of things that great that we might actually be able to help our neighbor. Because once we realize our sin, once we realize how much we've been forgiven of, then we finally have something good to offer, don't we? Because now we carry with us the good news of free pardon, the release from prison, and the total washing of guilt. Once you realize that, you can come to your neighbor and tell them everything that Christ accomplished, not just for you, but for them. You can give them that good news that unlocks the shackles of shame and fear which bind them. You see, Jesus calls us to do that, which is the opposite of judging and condemning. It is giving and forgiving. We who have been forgiven, we know where to find forgiveness because we've been marked by the one who holds the keys. We have it to offer not because we mustered it, not because we made it, but because we know the one who gives it. And we know that every Sunday, Jesus continues to come and give. He gives to us in word and in sacrament, and through them he pours into the cup that is our lives and fills it to overflowing, fills it with more than it can hold. You see, in these wonderful ways, Jesus reaches out to us and he gives us the forgiveness of sins and he seals us in that promise by giving us his holy body and blood. Now, can we who have received all these good things from the Lord and the rich forgiveness that it gives and the promise of eternal life, can we dare to walk away from worship with that old sinful nature still in charge of our lives? Can we dare to walk away still living in pride and bearing grudges in our hearts, still with our hearts and hands closed, refusing to give and help? We cannot, and we dare not. Instead, we should leave this place in joy ready to live the new life that we have been called to in Jesus Christ. We will leave this place in order to live a life in light of those mercies of God, with the full knowledge of all that we have been given and forgiven for. we leave to live a life where we do good for others. We forgive and give and point them to the cross, not so that we can earn mercy from God, but because our Heavenly Father has been merciful to us. He is merciful now, and He promises to continue His mercies. May God grant us the strength to live the life that He has called us to. May He also grant that we would trust in the finished work of Jesus through all of it. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for this teaching of Jesus, this teaching to give and to forgive, this teaching not to condemn and to judge, but to leave that for You, and this teaching that ultimately points us to our great need for a Savior. Lord, we thank You for Jesus, the one who lived the perfect life we could not, who came not to judge and condemn, but to lay down His life for our sins, Lord. May we freely confess the log of sin that is in our eyes and freely trust in His finished work and trust that it is enough even for us. Lord, we pray these things in Your holy name. Amen.